Welcome back. It's another episode of Afternoon Delight. It's Kyle Rush, Ben Taylor, and Ben, they're listening to us. College basketball is listening to us, and they are going to expand the basketball tournament to, what was it, 76 teams, 78 teams, something like that?
Over 70, yeah, 76, I think is
the man. I mean, that's one of the top conversations that I have around is like there needs to be more basketball teams
When Kyle and I play golf, the first thing we talk about on the first tee is, you know what we don't have is enough teams playing in March Madness.
And yeah, we
should include that. I mean,
do you know how excited I was when they added four play-in games?
Hell, why not go to 100?
I was just so – I'm like, let's add a whole nother round. That's what we need. We need one more whole round. We're not there yet, but hopefully we'll get to the whole round soon. As, yeah, it's 76 teams. NCAA basketball tournament set to move to 76 teams. Obviously, we're being sarcastic because literally no one's asked for this. Not a single freaking soul has asked for 76 teams.
Like, and that's the excuse that they gave. They were like, we've been listening to you, and, you know, we've heard what the coaches have said. And I'm like, nobody's saying that. Like, there may be one or two talking heads that's like, oh, we get more basketball. Cool. But for the most part, we've talked about how crappy some of these round one games are, that some of these guys just by – we're talking about getting rid of some auto qualifiers because of the lopsidedness. Because now with the Kyle, that's the thing. With the transfer portal now, these Cinderella teams, are that's not happening anymore because those guys can go make money at a bigger program instead of being the quote-unquote – Cinderella that goes in there and knocks off a one or a two or a three seed. Now, will there be some close games? Yes, because sometimes the ones like this past year, Duke, one seed, overlooked who they were playing. And the guy even said that, one of the players said that at halftime when they were only up by like one or two. And he's like, look, I think we pretty much, we call it what it is. We overlooked this team. We're going to go out there and take care of business and you know, in the second half. Otherwise, we're going to find ourselves outside looking in. So, Will there be some close games? Probably, but
who cares?
That nobody was asking. If anything, all of us have said some of these teams don't deserve to be in the tournament. They're getting wallylopped by 30 in round one, and they don't need to be there.
So currently, you have two of the 16 seeds that play in, and you have the 11 and is it the 11 seed? The 11 seed plays in?
Yes.
Yeah, so and there's two of those. So there's your eight teams that make up those four extra games to take it from 64 to 68. They're moving it to 12 play-in games. So I assume that's going to be now all the 16 seeds are going to be play-ins. Probably all the 11 seeds are going to be play-ins, and then they got to add four more. So what are they going to do? The 8-9? Or I thought there used to be some 8-9 play-ins or eight, whatever it is.
I think it's always been double-digit play-ins, whether it's 11-12 or 11. I don't know. They went as high as 8 seed.
I'm going to look at the current bracket. But when Auburn was left out, okay, this past year, and Auburn was like, what, the second team out?
Yeah.
Or first or second team out? I had a lot of conversations about basketball. I had a lot of conversations about the team. Talked about a lot of topics in relation to basketball. Not one of those topics were, boy, I really wish the field was expanded now so that we could have a chance to play in the tournament. Or, man, they should have already done this and we wouldn't have been left out. Like, I never had that conversation.
No, not even when it was rumored that they were going to it. I didn't even look back and go, oh, well, that'd have been nice to have this year. Then Auburn would have made it. Like, we as Auburn fans have every excuse after this past year to be wanting this to happen. And I think it's just dumb because if you know what we were asking for, Kyle, and we're doing this also for football as well, change the auto qualifier rules. Like, you know, because you got teams that are in there that win their conference that you and I had this discussion because we upset some people whenever you had Miami, Ohio make it and they had to beat like teams that weren't even Division One and they didn't count. And everybody goes, oh, well, they went undefeated. Well, they kind of did and they didn't. I mean, they didn't play anybody. And they didn't even have a quad one or two win on their schedule. Like, if you're going to change something, change the way people auto-qualify instead of just adding more teams and going, we understand you want to change the auto-qualifier policy that we have. So the way we're going to do that is we're going to add, go to 76 teams. We're going to add 12 more teams into the field. No. Yes.
Yeah, it's silly. So you had, yeah, you had the 16 and the 11 seeds were play-ins this year. So I'm assuming there was only two of each. So they're going to go to all four, I would imagine. They haven't really, there's not really, doesn't really tell us. All we know is it's going to be 12 more games. I'm sorry, 12. There'll be 12 play-in games instead of four. So that means there's going to be eight more play-in games. So if you do eight, let's work this math out, okay? I'm really terrible at this. But if you do eight, that means if you do all the 16s and all the 11s, that knocks out four right there, right? Yes, that's four. That's four games, okay? So you got four more. Where do they go? Like, who becomes play-in? What are the other seeds that become play-ins?
Probably going to keep – I mean, I guess it just depends on seeding because, I mean, you even got some – and I don't know that they'll do all 16s, Kyle, because you got some 16 seeds that are just auto-qualifiers, but because they were so small of a school, they get seeded at 16 because the way they do the seeding process. That's why – when people ask, it makes no sense – like, they'll say it makes no sense how you got a 16 seed doing a play-in game and then you got an 11. Like, if an 11 is already an 11 seed, like, why are they having to do a play-in? Well, it's because of strength of schedule. I mean, it's got this formula that they do. That's why they do it that way. So I guess it's just going to depend on seeding, but I don't think they thought that far ahead. I think they basically said, we want more teams. We want an opportunity to make more money. I'm sure TV is going to pay for the contract. There's probably a boost in money that's going to take place now that they can put those games on Tuesday and Wednesday night before the games begin on Thursday far as play-in games. Also, they can start it and now instead of it being an 8 p.m. game, they can start at 6. So there's your extra games that you can play Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday as play-in games and allow teams to travel to get to wherever they need to be by Thursday. So
says the primary driver, though, was not money.
Whatever. It's
rather access for at-large bids for the power conferences, which that kind of goes to what you're saying. Those bid stealers, when you probably have better teams that could, you know, that could compete at a higher level that get left out because, you know, somebody won a conference tournament that shouldn't have. Like Miami of Ohio lost their conference tournament. Yes. Okay. So that conference now got two bids. In reality, they probably only deserved one.
Yep.
So that's what that's the problem that they feel like they're solving here, that it allows some more at large for the Power Fives, those on the bubble guys.
Go ahead. And I said the same thing with football. I know that it is super subjective, but when you get the committee in the room, how hard is it just to come up with the best 64 teams?
Yeah.
Like, I understand you want to do auto qualifiers, but like we were just talking about, and I'm not trying to pick on them because you and I have already done a show where we picked on them with Miami, Ohio, but you know, at the end of the day, when you do the eye test and the committee gets together, it's like, did they deserve to be in there? Probably so because they went undefeated. But then you had the guy that was the team that won the tournament that they got the auto qual bid. So they were in there also. And like you just said it, like that conference didn't deserve two teams in the tournament. And it ended up taking the spot of somebody that may have deserved that went maybe like on a run at the end of the season or something like that. So I've said that even with football, cause you got the auto quals there. Cause we've talked about like, you know, whether you're a good, you know, at a power conference or not in a power conference, like a G5 program, you know, I'm not big on letting them in the playoffs. And so I said, here's the easy thing. You got this frigging committee. Sit down and come up with the best teams. Is it that hard to do?
No, take the committee out, bro. It's got to be BCS. Use the BCS.
You want to do a computer version?
Yeah, take the humans out. The BCS formula could probably work for basketball too.
Oh, I think it could.
Just let it stick them where they need to be, and cut out all the auto qualifier stuff is tricky though. It really is. To me, are conference tournaments even necessary anymore? Like why it is? It's always been kind of silly to me that you have a regular season champion and a tournament champion. That's weird, isn't it?
It is, because
which would you rather win? It's kind of weird. I'd rather win
the regular season.
Me too, because you could just get hot in a tournament, but you're rewarded more for winning the tournament. Doesn't make any sense.
Because Auburn sits in that realm of things, because you got that year that Bruce came in, that team that went all the way to the finals did not deserve to be in the tournament. But if Kentucky would have had a bad day in that finals of the SEC tournament, Auburn would have qualified that first year that Bruce took over, because they didn't have a great year. And then they made that run in the tournament where they ended up getting ousted by Kentucky late.
In the semifinals, so, yeah.
Yeah, semifinals.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah. If Auburn, they won like 14 games or something like that. But if they win that tournament, they're in. That's kind of dumb.
And that could factor in, especially now with coaches doing load management, to having an off game, to doing whatever. And so you got a team that can kind of run through a tournament like that scenario. And I understand that that's an outlier. That's not something that happens every single year. But clearly, Auburn was nowhere close to being the regular season champion that year. Yeah. But yet they made that deep run in the SEC tournament and almost pulled off a miracle.
Yeah, I mean, that had to have a couple more miracles, but yeah, your point is, I grant you that your point. I get it. Let's talk some more hoops here in just a second.
That could have happened in that Miami Ohio conference, Kyle, because they kept talking about what if they get beat in the tournament, and they did. They got beat.
And stole a bid.
And so the scenario is more recent where it happened. You know, it happened, and that's a team that they beat earlier in the season, and so. I put more weight in the regular season. If you want to do auto quals with regular season champions, I totally get that, because when you factor in strength of schedule and you factor in, you know, like them, they went undefeated. Like, fine, go ahead and let them. And then the tournament's just bonus material. But yeah, I'm not so sure that tournament champions should be an auto qualifier just because they got hot right there at the end of the season and won four games late to put them in the tournament.
I mean, that's fair. I want to talk about maybe some more hoops and some stuff Alex Golish said yesterday and get your take on it here in just a second. But before we do that, let's give a shout out to buyauburn.com. Go to buyauburn.com today and support other Auburn businesses, Auburn-owned businesses. If you're driving on 231 headed to Panama City and you're going through Troy and you're like, man, I'm hungry, I want to stop at an Auburn-owned restaurant in Troy, you can go to B. Graves Restaurant and Bar. Right there on the square. Auburn owner, support Auburn businesses. That's what Buy Auburn's all about. We're going to try to expand this thing all across the country. So everywhere you go, hopefully you can find somebody, some Auburn-owned business to visit and support. So, guys, show us some love at buyauburn.com. Ben, did you see the Golish stuff yesterday? Did you see?
Before you get to that, I want to go one more thing.
Okay.
Basketball.
Okay.
Because you're talking about yesterday. This is the region's pro-am that's taking place. Stephen Pearl.
He had a phenomenal.
There's another, show that's out there that they were very critical of Stephen
Pearl. Third best show in Birmingham.
Yes.
What
Stephen called him. And very critical of Stephen and the team being in the NIT. Kyle, I got to be honest with you. I thought he handled that about as well as a head coach could handle it.
He had that line ready, didn't he? Like, he was trying, he was fighting so hard not to lead with it.
Yes.
Like, he was so excited to drop that on him. Hey, and you know, I'm getting so much hate from the third best sports radio show in Birmingham, you know? And what's funny with that whole deal is Steven gave that show a ton. Like, he would go on there
weekly. He was on there once a week.
Yeah, yeah. And then I think I understand I understand what Ryan Brown was trying to say. Like, I understand that it's the program's elevated now. Like, this is, you know, don't be, you shouldn't be excited, or we shouldn't be applauding accepting an NIT bid. And the thing is, like, I don't think anybody was. Like, I don't think that there was this, like, this celebration, like, yes, 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 we made it to the NIT. I don't think that was ever on the table. The discussion was always, can this benefit Auburn?
Yeah.
And clearly it did. You and I both talked about it. We both didn't think if they don't play in the NIT, Tahad Pettiford doesn't come back. Nope. And what did Steven say in that interview? He's like, it allowed us to keep guys like Tahad Pettiford, Kevin Overton. You know, I never really thought Kevin Overton was a risk anyway, but I mean, Steven said right there, if we don't play in the NIT and have the success we did, there's a chance that we lose both of them. So, he did a really, really good job. He didn't back down, and he fired one off there at the end, which I thought was fantastic.
I could not have been more impressed with the way it was handled. Now, I'll give them credit doing the interview, and basically self-deprecation, they admitted, hey,
We were wrong. I was wrong. But Ryan Brown was like, clearly I was wrong. Like he basically said, I was going to say, prove me wrong, but you just basically showed me exactly why I was wrong, like with everything you just said. So that was really good stuff. Golish also had some remarks, and I talked about them in my show this morning, but I don't really care too much to go back, dive into like what he said, because I thought it was awesome. But the thing I want to ask you, Ben, is can you point to a time since December where Golish has said something where you're like, oof, I don't know if I'd have said that. Or dang, man, I really, really wish he wouldn't have said that. That's embarrassing. Like, can you think of a moment? Like some people said when he said he prays for the offensive line, like I just think that was honest. I don't think that was necessarily negative or embarrassing. Can you pinpoint like a certain time? It's honestly remarkable when you really think about it.
No, and the reason I can't think of it is because he has said all the right things. And this is coming from, I mean, I've been in media since the late 90s and heard different coaches. I used to always say that one of the best one-liner slash media guys was Tommy Tuberville. And that worked out great because he's now a politician. And so clearly it has propelled him into preparing him into being a politician. I don't think Golish is that way, but the thing that Golish has done is he hasn't pissed any media members off, which is tough to do at some point in time. But he hasn't
cowered either.
No, but that's the thing. He also hasn't bowed down to the stalwarts of media, whether it be some old reporter that's been around since the 80s or whether it is
people were saying Rick Carley was the one that asked him the question about how being prepared for the Iron Bowl, and Carley tried to pretend like he wasn't 100% sure what song they were playing. He's like, I mean, y'all are playing like Dixieland Delight or something like that. Is that like, come on, bro, you know what's you know what song they're playing. Carly's been around forever. So for him to just say, look, I don't know that I could care less about what's happened prior. He said, this team hasn't lost to Alabama. So we're going to talk about what we're doing going forward, which I thought was incredible.
And that's what I like is because he has done, and this isn't because everybody always throws around the word culture. He's done a focus shift where I think he's also talking to his team like that. I mean, you hear some of the excerpts that he says to his team, whether it be after practice or whether it be in a meeting room. And he's very matter of fact. He's very, you know, pointed. And, you know, credit Byron Brown. He had said in some of his interviews that he's done, he was like, that's Coach Golish. That's what you're going to get. He's the same, you know, same way, or that's been the guy that I've seen the last few years. So to answer your question, I can't imagine a better start publicly than what there he's got.
And you can't win a football game right now.
No,
you can't. The only thing you can do really right now,
you can lose a crowd right now, though. You can lose a fan base.
You know how they used to say you can't win a tournament on Thursday, but you can lose it? That's kind of the scenario. We're talking about a golf tournament. Yeah. That's kind of what he's living right now. You can't win a championship in April, but you can lose a fan base.
Yes.
Or you can turn a fan base in April. You surely can. Or from December to April, and he's done. It's really another thing that's remarkable, dude, is like he gives such long answers.
Oh.
So, and there's so much room in there for him to slip up. There's so much room in there for him to say something that'll get him, you know, excoriated online or clip farmed. He just hasn't done it. And as a matter of fact, like I saw a tweet the other day. Okay, gosh, what is this guy's name? I'll find it. Hold on 1 second. Don't go anywhere. There was a podcast. There is a podcast. There was a group. They're called Split Zone Duo. Okay. And Stephen Godfrey was part of that group. I don't think he is anymore. Okay. Stephen Godfrey was a guy that covered the beat, I think, at Ole Miss for a while.
Okay.
When Hugh Freeze was there. Dude hated Hugh Freeze. Absolutely hated Hugh Freeze. He's a big, you know, I'm just going to say it. He's a big liberal. So, like anything, you know, anything that Hugh does, it just, you know, religion and all that kind of stuff, it just turns him off anyway. So, he hated him from, you know, political and religiously right off the bat. And then all the stuff that he did, all the stuff that he did obviously compounded. So, not a friend of Auburn, okay, at the time, like the last 3 years. Talked a lot of trash about Auburn, which is fine. He says, I really like Auburn's head coach. Please help. That's what he said. That was his tweet. So just to kind of give you an idea, he's like even kind of winning with, you know, unfriendly media.
Yeah. Well, he's been open. He's been honest. I mean, even some of the stuff that he made the rounds at the various media stops. I watched as many of those as I could, everything from podcasts to live radio shows to – Let me tell you what a big difference this is. And I don't know if you remember this or not.
Yeah.
So at this same tournament, when Brian Harsin was announced as head coach, he's sitting down with media. He had not really done any media leading up to this. And so he's sitting down, and I think he was on the Rick and Bubba show, if I'm not mistaken. He was on there with Bo and with Charles Barkley.
Yeah.
And Bo said, had they gone through your trash yet? And Harsin just kind of went, huh. And Bo was like, no, for real, they're going to go through your trash. Like these fans are, wherever you move to, they're going to be out by the roadway going through your trash to see like what you're doing and to find out about. And so Harsin just kind of snarled at both Bo and Chuck, because Charles Barkley also kind of chimed in on this. And they kind of basically torched him on the air. And they said, look, you need to understand, in the state of Alabama, Cam Newton has said this. If you're the quarterback, starting quarterback, or the head coach at Auburn University or University of Alabama, you're going to be criticized and ridiculed more than anybody, more than the governor, I think is what Cam said. And that holds true. And the Harsin never did himself any favors after that and was never liked by the media. Nobody was ever like, hey, this guy's great, even though he did the whole handout hat thing. That actually pissed some media members off when he did that.
Yeah.
And I could not have think a bigger 180.
I like that one, by the way.
Then
I like that. I like that he did that. That was a shot.
Oh, it totally didn't bother me. I thought it was great.
That's one thing I like that he did.
I totally thought it was great. I mean, you know, and so, but what a 180 is now, even the ones like that guy that don't want to like Auburn and don't want to like Golish kind of have to, because of everything he said. He hasn't done anything to make you dislike him.
And he's honestly making you like him, which is crazy. Because Stephen Godfrey, he retweeted the quote, the clip where he's talking about, this team hasn't lost to Alabama. Like, I don't give a crap about what happened the 6 years prior. This is something completely new now. So.
And Kyle, he's doing a good job of doing this in the media. where it can get back to his players. So he's practicing what he preaches. What he preaches to them in the locker room, he's preaching out there on the streets talking to the media. I used to say one of the best at it was Saban. Saban in his press conferences, everybody always thought he was talking to the media. I was like, he's talking to his players. When he makes some of those statements, he wants that to get back to the locker room so he can see what they're saying about them publicly. And I think Golish is in that mindset. He's already in his bag with that. And not only is he doing it out front publicly, but that stuff gets back to the players on expectations. You think those players now don't know that he's been telling them that in the locker room? They're like, oh, he actually does really believe. He's like saying it on radio and TV and everything else too. So yeah. I love it. I understand you got to win games. I understand you got to be successful. You can be the best politically, you know, spoken coach that's out there. But if you don't win, they will run you off in a heartbeat. So I totally get that. But right now, as you and I talked about, and that was a great example, in his golf tournament of Auburn football, and I hate to use that analogy because anytime you equate golf with Auburn football, it's a bad thing. But in his golf tournament of Auburn football, he hasn't lost the golf tournament yet, and we're still on Thursday of a golf tournament.
There you go.
So if he can close strong on Sunday, he could win a lot of fans over come November.
No doubt. No doubt. Guys, we really appreciate you listening. We'll be back again tomorrow. We're out of here. War Eagle.
War damn Eagle.